chapter number 17. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Usually when we have this midweek service the week before Thanksgiving, we always look to have a little time of, you know, public Thanksgiving. And tonight's no different. I normally, for whatever reason, have always chosen to go to Psalm 100 just because it talks about entering into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And so we have thanks there. But as I was meditating on what to bring tonight, this passage jumped out at me. And I want us to look in Luke chapter number 17. I want us to look in verse number 11. We're going to read verses 11 down through 19. And this is an account that we hear on a regular basis. It's an account we read yearly, is what I should say, as we read through our Bibles and we're taken with this. And so I want to just kind of look at some things tonight in preparation for us with our Thanksgiving time tonight. So let's go ahead and pray first, and then we'll look at the Scripture tonight. Father, we thank You for this evening. Lord, we're grateful we can be here in the house of God tonight. Father, You have blessed us to be in this place, and Lord, we're grateful for all who are here. I know there's some who are sick, some who cannot be here tonight. Lord, we're grateful. Brother Paulman, as he's driving through, heading back home, that Lord, he stopped in with us tonight to be in service with us this evening. We just pray You'd bless him, the work of the ministry, and Lord, just provide and give what's needed. And Lord, just be glorified in all that's done tonight. Speak to our hearts out of this passage. Lord, we say that, and we don't want to just say that for a space filler. But God, unless You speak to our hearts out of this passage, it'll just simply be a Bible story. It'll be a nice, quaint account and something to we can moralize and draw good lessons from. And while we can do that from every passage of Your Word, as far as drawing lessons and getting an application, Lord, we sure need You to help us tonight, speaking to our hearts. So I pray that You do just that and be glorified tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to look at verse 11. We're going to kind of read down through the passage here and not spend a lot of time. Normally, I read through the entire text, then go back and pick up a verse at a time. We'll see how it goes tonight. The Bible says in verse number 11, "And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Let's go ahead and read the whole passage. "And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And He said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" It's interesting, some of the stuff that I've been studying, reading about how the Gospel of Luke is obviously different from Matthew, Mark, and John. And it's one of the writers said this, that the Gospel of Luke, from say chapter 9, I think around verse 51, 52, all the way to 19, is pretty much a travelogue. And Jesus is moving toward Jerusalem, and it stops and gives us kind of little, I don't know if it used the word vignette, but little pictures of what happens as we go along. And it's interesting that it uses that same phraseology that would give you that indication that He's on His way to Jerusalem. He's headed to Jerusalem. The reason He's going to Jerusalem is because His ministry is being closed out. He's headed toward the cross. And in doing so, He passes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. It's interesting that, because normally if you're in Galilee traveling south, you're going to go through Samaria, but it says Samaria and Galilee. So you can investigate that a little bit more. Something I want to point out in verse number 12 says this, "And as He entered into a certain village." And the reason I want to point that out is because when you see the Gospels mention a certain village, a certain man, a certain location, you can rest assured, listen to me, it is a certain village, a certain man, a certain location. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because one of the footnotes in a Bible that I own says that in Luke 16, that it's obvious that this is a parable, meaning not a true story, because it uses the phrase, there was a certain rich man. So my question is, well, if that's not a certain rich man, then is this really a certain village? And I understand that there was a point in Jesus' ministry when he did not speak to them without a parable. So if you classify what goes on in Luke as a parable under that heading, I don't have a problem with that, as long as you realize Luke 16 is a literal occurrence of a literal rich man in a literal hell with literal fire talking to a literal Abraham in Abraham's bosom. Okay? Now, having said that, anytime you see a certain village or a certain man, rest assured it's a certain village or a certain man. Now, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And of course, we know the Levitical law required them to stay apart, to cover their upper lip and to cry what? Unclean, unclean. And so they were doing what they were supposed to do, staying separated. And of course, leprosy is a type of sin. We could preach on that here. But I want you to see here tonight, these men are lepers. Leprosy is a type of sin because it is a destructive disease that takes away the flesh. And there are varying types of leprosy. What goes on here in the Bible, probably there are several types and strands of what leprosy does. Some of that is to the point to where the actual limbs, the fingers, the joints, ears, nose, eyes, part or not necessarily the eyes fall out, but part of the appendages, you know, such as the nose, the fingers, toes, etc., those would fall off because they would rot away. And of course, being a contagious disease, and the Jews wanting to separate from anybody who had some type of contagion like that, they were very careful about coming in contact with someone who had that. And so what these lepers were doing is what they were supposed to do. They're standing afar off. So if we stop and look, leprosy is a bad disease. No doubt about it. None of us would want leprosy. None of us would. I've known of missionaries who have gone overseas. They've gone to leper colonies that still exist to this day. And they've been blessed not to contract leprosy, even though they minister very closely to those folks who have it. But here these men are, Luke chapter 17, verse number 12 again, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. So lepers are standing off. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Okay? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now it's interesting that they cry out to Jesus as he is passing through, entering into that certain village. And when he saw them, Luke chapter 17, verse number 14, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. That's very interesting that he says that, because later on we're going to find out that one of these fellows is what? A Samaritan. And because they were Samaritans, not full-blooded Jews, they had a different way of doing things over there in Mount Gerizim as opposed to what the Jews did in Jerusalem. Now notice this in verse number 14. I'm not even going to preach on that. I just wanted just to give that to you. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. So here they are. They cry out to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't even go over and look at him. He simply says, go show yourselves to the priest. And the reason they were to do that was because the book of Leviticus had the lepers go to the priest. He would look at the leprosy. And if you remember, it talked about having a little white spot, a little pink, and the hair and all of that. And he would declare them to be clean or to be unclean, and it was because the priests were given the responsibility to declare them clean to keep this disease from spreading throughout the community. And notice this, and it came to pass, verse 14, as they went, what are the next three words? They were cleansed. This is amazing. These men respond to Jesus' words in obedience. when they responded in obedience, they're on their way to the priest. On their way to the priest. Just walking toward where the priest goes. They're heading toward Jerusalem. They're going to show themselves to the priest. And as they go, the Bible says they were cleansed. Isn't that an amazing thing? Here they are. Simple obedience brings cleansing. Well, that's a message on salvation right there. Simple obedience. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what? Thou shalt be saved. Not on an installment plan. Not, you know, part now and part later. Not when you get to the very end and find out if you're saved. Right now. Amen. Now I want you to look at verse number 15. Bible tells us in verse 12 there are 10 men. Verse 15, and one of them. When he saw that he was healed, he had no more leprosy. The leprosy's gone. The parts of his hands, maybe as he looked down toward his sandals and saw his toes, maybe he saw that his toes no longer were gangrenous to the point to where they were falling off. The leprosy stopped. And the Bible says here he turned back and watch this. With a loud voice, glorified God. Miss Sarah, did you see that? I just want to make sure you read that. Go ahead and underline that. And with a loud voice. I just don't like all that shouting in church. Well, tell you what, I'm sure we can find a Sharpie somewhere. Mark through this verse in your Bible and black it out. Loud voice. Loud voice. Some churches, if you were to say amen, I remember, and I think I may have told you all this, I've told you most all my stories that I can remember. We were on the way to see my sister in New Jersey, so I made the mistake of going up I-95. Why in the world I went up I-95, I have no clue. And I was just wanting to be different. I went up 95. I took two trips, my first and my last, because that was crazy. There was a stop on the road, and we were south on the south part of Baltimore, and I pulled in, and I did something that men never do. I went inside the store and asked for directions. I know that's going to blow your mind that I did that, but I did it one time, okay? So I can say that I've done it. I can put that in my scrapbook, marked it off. I did ask for directions. All right? And I said something about, can you tell me where to get back on? This was before GPS. I mean, we had one of them little, y'all remember the triptych thing from Trip? Yeah, y'all remember that? Yeah, having the map. Can you tell me where how far up the next exit is? There's a wreck on 95. When I said that, the guy in the gas station, I believe he had a little bitty ponytail mustache, said, oh, there's another wreck on 95. Well, if you go, just another walk in the park, another day at the office, another wreck on 95. I thought to myself, look thereon and receive instruction. This is a bad way to travel. So we drove on up a little further. Traffic was bad. We finally found a place to stop. We stayed in a hotel there around, I think it was on the northern part of Baltimore. And there was this was a Saturday evening. So we're going to get up, we're going to go to church in the morning, find a church here to go, and we're going to head up back to see my sister in New Jersey. So we found a little place, went to a building. Beautiful building, probably would seat 300 people very easily. Very easily. I think we have more people here tonight than we're at that little independent Baptist church. Everybody sat in the first four, five, six rows over here. And I think, Miss Crystal, maybe about where you're at, maybe one or two pews, rows behind you is where we sat. And I think it was me, Audrey, and maybe Hannah. That's how long ago it's been. Sarah, you were not here. You're still a twinkle in your daddy's eye, Punkin. All right, so you weren't even here yet. So we're back there in the back, and I mean, it's a quiet church. We're up going toward the north. And so I'm trying to help this preacher out. So he gets a good, he has a good point, and I say, amen. As soon as I did that, the 180-degree button everybody had turned around and looked at me like this. Who is the guy back here with the loud voice, 14 heads? Apparently they had never heard an amen before, and I thought, that's strange. And I don't remember if it was the spiritual me or the carnal me. I went ahead and said amen again just to see if they'd turn around again. One of these days, I was talking with a pastor here just a week or two back about this. Some point in time, we were talking about praising the Lord. We were talking about shouting. And we're going to go through at some point and look at some of those verses in the Psalms and even in the New Testament, looking at the praise scriptures and how that it is right and it's in order for folks to praise the Lord. And so I wanted to point that out tonight. And this is not the whole purpose of me looking at this text, obviously, but it's right here in our text. This man sees he's healed, he stops. He does a 180, he turns back with a loud voice, glorifies God. Now whether he went, hallelujah, or woo, or oh, glory to God, I don't know what he did, but it was a loud voice. And notice what he does. The loud voice was not for show. You see that? A lot of folks like the shout because they like people to see them. Years ago, I went to a camp meeting, and there was this fella, and bless his heart, and I mean, he was probably just in a big way, but when he was shouting like this. He was shouting like, whoa! And he'd go to the next person, whoa! And he, whoa! And he was just like looking at people. Well, buddy, why don't you just go ahead and shout to the Lord? I mean, it's one thing to just, wow, and then make eye contact. People look at me, shout, wow! I almost felt like that's the reason he, I don't know, I can't judge the man's motive, but he just looked kind of wild that he was making eye contact with people. He was, you know, almost making a show. Well, here you see where this is not about drawing attention to himself, because as soon as he glorifies God, notice what he does, he falls down on his face, verse number 16, at the feet of Jesus. Watch this, giving him thanks. This man is a social outcast. He is a spiritual outcast. He's a Samaritan. The others were spiritual outcasts, not like they can go take a sacrifice to the temple. They're all social outcasts. They're all spiritual outcasts. This guy is. And on top of it, verse number 16 tells us that he's a Samaritan. This was unusual because the Jews, Luke is telling us, look, the nine other folks who were to go show themselves to the priest, they were good Jewish boys. But this man is the Samaritan, and notice this, the half-breed Jew, and I know that's politically incorrect. One year our pastor down in Tennessee, before he was pastor, we were just, you know, friends, and of course still friends and all, but he went to a church, Brother Jerry, he talked about the Samaritans being half-breeds, and that highfalutin church over in Knoxville just, they just almost vapor locked. They just couldn't believe that he said half-breed from the pulpit. And I just said half-breed. I just to get people's attention. Just amazing. Well, the Samaritans and the Jews, as you know from John 4, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So here's a man who has no respect among the Jews, and the only Jews he's hanging out with are the ones who are lepers. Notice what he does. He comes back, falls down at Jesus' feet, gives him thanks. Now, can you see what's happening here? Here's a man who is giving thanks to the one who healed him. Notice what Jesus says here. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And I know a lot of preachers, I've never preached it before, but I know a lot of preachers will preach on, are you the one, instead of where are the 9. And I guess that's all right. But here's a sad, sad commentary on the heart of man. And the sad commentary is this: God can take a person, can clean that person up. Here he cleans these people physically, and they don't even have, I'm going to say it, the decency and the courtesy to turn around and say thank you. It would not have been disobedient to stop on the way to see the priest, to turn around and say thank you, then go see the priest. Because obviously they were on the way there because this man would not have been healed had he not obeyed in faith. Amen. So, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. These verses are loaded. Let me just give you a couple things. Verse number 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God. Wow. You get that? Returned to give glory to who? God. Who do you give thanks to? Jesus. Hey, you sign language people, is that right? Is that right? Did I do it right? Is it matter? Okay. Yeah, Jesus. Verse number 18 is almost a deity of Christ verse right here. Not only that, this man returns to give glory to God. Well, how did this man give glory to God? Verse number 15, and with a loud voice glorified God. How did this man glorify God? He glorified God with a loud voice. Now, I'm not telling you that just because you have a loud voice means you glorify God. I'm not saying that. Because little kids on the playground would be glorifying God more than any of us could ever imagine, and we'd want them to stop. The older I get, the more impatient I get. I don't like loud noises and kids being loud and stuff like that. I just don't. And I'm looking at some of y'all. Y'all don't like it either. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't have grand youngins yet, but that might change. That might change. That might change. I don't know. But if you'll look here, it says that this man glorified God with a loud voice. He gave glory to God. So giving glory to God was done with that loud shout that he did of whatever case it was. And notice he says, save, accept this stranger. Again, what do we have here? We have an instance of someone who had no ethnic claim on the true God giving glory to God. Does that not sound like what happened to all of us when the veil was rent in the temple, rent in twain from the top to the bottom? And the Gentiles are now allowed to go in because what happened? God has broken down in the outer court that middle wall of partition. He's made of twain, the Jew and the Gentile, one new man, so making peace. We've got a way to go into the Father now. And notice in verse number 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. There are Bible students who believe not only was this man's leprosy healed in the sense of his leprosy stopping, no longer was he leprous. As they were on the way to the priest, the nubs didn't look as bad, whether they're on their fingers, whether he reached up and touched his nose or whatever. You know, and it had stopped rotting, and it was just there. Some Bible students, verse number 20, when Jesus says, thy faith hath made thee whole, believes that what happened here is that not only did this man's leprosy stop, but this man's body parts that had been rotted away by leprosy were restored complete and total because Jesus said he was made whole. Now, I kind of fall into that category. So here's the thing I want us to see tonight. This man was cleansed of his leprosy. His leprosy stopped. But when he turned back to give thanks, it took him, I'm not talking about a second blessing. I'm not talking about a second work of grace. But it helped him, if you will, another step in his restoration. By not only restoring him where the leprosy stopped, but putting him back to where he was before the leprosy hit. And we can make all kinds of spiritual comparisons there. But the number one thing I wanted us to see tonight, this one man stopped, turned around, and gave thanks. Now you may not do it with a loud voice. We're not all loud voice people. Not all of us are. I'm telling you, my wife shouts. She's going to collect a lot of life insurance money, and y'all going to have to find a new pastor because I will drop dead immediately. I'm not even joking. She does. It'll be like, you think Fred Sanford was big calling for a living? That would be the big one. Sorry for getting carnal on you, but y'all know who I'm talking about. Amen. Not all of us shout. Not everybody is loud. I understand that. But this man had such a drastic change in experience that he took his praise that was on the inside, that joy on the inside, and vocalized it. Not only did he vocalize it, but he turned around and went back to the one who'd healed him. So tonight, what I want us to do this evening is I want us to stop for a minute. And normally we have an altar of prayer on Wednesday night. I don't even know that we're going to do that tonight. And there are a lot of prayer requests that we have. And we ask the Lord for so many things. If you look and see what's going on in the world, it is absolutely amazing the attempts to tear down the foundation of not just the Christian faith in general, but specifically the effect that the Christian faith has had here in the United States. Somebody, see if I've got it here. Somebody sent me a text today, and let me see if I can find it here because I couldn't believe it. My response was, Lester Roloff said, this world is an insane asylum run by the inmates. Yeah. MSNBC panel slams Thanksgiving as, quote, colonizer Christmas, links holiday to cannibalism. So, amen. There's so many things I can say on that. Oh, my goodness. So can you imagine the stupidity, the ignorance? And what is so sad is these people have an audience. It is absolutely amazing to me that people who have no common sense, no sense of history unless they want to rewrite history, now have a place where they have a voice of influence. Absolutely. And what's going on, there is a definite attempt to tear down the culture of this nation, to erode the foundations. And if you erode the foundation, what happens to the building that's built on that foundation? It falls. And the problem is the people who are trying to erode the foundations, they don't realize that in that building they've got their own apartment. And when that building falls, they come down as quick. One of the greatest pictures I've ever seen of this, some of y'all probably saw it, there's a man holding a man at gunpoint. It says capitalism. The guy who's holding the gun, it says socialism. And the man, the two men are standing on a board, but the board is extended over a cliff, and the fellow with the gun with socialism is standing on the part of the board that's hung over the cliff. They don't realize that the reason they have a voice to say what they want to say is because somebody has worked hard, someone has provided jobs, someone has followed our Constitution and government and free trade and all to where it's built up folks who are able to do that and give them the voice, and yet we see people today have no clue about that. More than likely, if you would have told folks, not just even in the 1860s during the time of the war between the states, but even in the 1930s, even during the Great Depression, they would have looked at people like this and think they were from the planet Mars. No way these people could have been Americans, let alone thinking people at all. So what I want us to do tonight, you know, and if you want, like I said, and also if you want to have a protest, if you wish to have a protest and you wish to have a peaceful protest on Thanksgiving, you know, and protest things, you know, provide a meal to. I know a family that's going to have a funeral for their pet turkey. And if some of you just want to be rebels and just have Thanksgiving, you can do that too. So, but here's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to just take a little bit of time here this evening, and I just want us to thank the Lord for what He's done. Someone says, it's 2020. Yeah, and most of us are thinking, yeah, 2021, come on ahead. But if we stop and look back, we can think of things we're thankful for. I mean, I'm looking here tonight. I'm looking here tonight. I got my wife and three girls with me. I'm very thankful to have them with me. After they spent 7 months, I'll just say 7 months in Tennessee, it's nice to have them all with me. I like that. It's very nice. It's very nice. I'm thankful that God hasn't killed me for falling short of His glory over and over and over and over and over again in 2020. And I'm looking at a whole bunch of people who probably could say the same thing. I always think of that verse of Lamentations, it's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Amen. I'm grateful for the church being so gracious to allow me to travel as I've been traveling back and forth down to North Tennessee. It's been wonderful. I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that the Lord saved Charity at the tent meeting this year. Amen. Grateful for that. I'm grateful for all that the Lord's done. And so much more I know that I could say. But here's what we'll do tonight. We'll just start and we'll let folks give thanks here this evening. So we all ought to have something we can give thanks for tonight. And so, Brother David, I'm going to start with you, and we'll just kind of work our way that way, and then we'll come back here. So. Joshua. Yeah, Joshua, yeah. Yeah.
The thing about that in the Faith Bible Institute, whenever we talked about that, he said, well, the easiest thing would have been for God to have been the light of it. I was thinking about that. None of that would have been easy. God, he can do whatever he wants.
That's it. Somebody's got a song about why should I worry at some point.